Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, I'm not Catherine Whittaker. It's David Law here. Here on the Tennis Podcast, I've had a few days away, but I'm back under slightly upsetting circumstances, not really the circumstances with which I wanted to be back on the show. I was planning to come back on it next week. I should start by saying Catherine is fine, but we've had, Matt, I think it's fair to say, a pretty traumatic couple of hours, or at least Catherine has, on site tonight at Roland Garros. We've got plenty of tennis to talk about. We'll bring you all of that. But just to explain where Catherine is at the moment and why I'm presenting the show, she got caught up in an absolute mass of people tonight at Roland Garros, and it was kind of like a crush, really. I saw some videos of what happened outside court number one, where people were trying to get into the Stan Wawrinka Grigor Dimitrov match that had been moved over from Susan Longland court, and just a huge number of people all trying to queue to get into an already full court. Absolutely impossible area to pass through, and lots of screaming and kids upset and falling to the ground, and Catherine eventually had to escape by jumping into bushes on the side of the walkway, and so not a pleasant situation. She is fine. We've sent her home for the night with a nightcap, and she's going to be absolutely fine, and hopefully nobody else was hurt either. But it sounded pretty unpleasant. Matt, you were there. You were sort of on your way over. What did you witness?
It's a very busy part of the grounds at the best of times, and throw in all the extra people that were there because of the match being moved from Court Suzanne Longlen over to Court 1, and put simply, there were just too many people in a small space. And not only that, but these were people who had tickets for Wawrinka versus Dimitrov, and they wanted to see that match, and they couldn't because Court 1 was already full. Therefore, they were quite angry and chanting and booing and acting kind of irrationally and creating a situation. And it was a little bit dangerous, to be honest, because there was just too many people, and Catherine was caught up right in the middle of it, and I was sort of 2 or 3 minutes behind her. I hadn't quite made as much progress into the crowd, so I was able to hang back. But Catherine was really caught up in the middle of it, and it was a distressing situation for anyone.
Yeah, she was pretty shaken up, but she is okay. We've spoken to her tonight. Matt looked after her, and it's something, though. I think it's fair to say, Matt, that the tournament are going to need to look at, isn't it? Because this could happen again.
It could, because we've spoken a lot on the podcast the whole week, really, about the crowds, and almost in a bit of a joking way about, you know, when you get caught in a log jam and how it is a bit annoying that it takes 10 minutes to get from A to B when it really isn't that far. But there's a serious point here as well, in that they're starting at maximum capacity, and if there's anything, any kind of unforeseen circumstance, it creates this slightly chaotic situation. And as far as I understand it, the Court Suzanne Longlen ticket holders were simply not informed that the match had moved, and therefore they felt a tremendous sense of injustice, and there's just an organization issue that needs to be looked at. And in terms of the space, they just don't have a lot to work with. So it very much is something that could happen again, particularly if it's as badly organized as it seemed to be today.
That's Court One. Is that the one that's going to get demolished?
Court One is the ball ring, which is getting demolished. This is its last year, and I believe the plan is to turn that whole area into a green space, a spectator lawn. And that, to be honest, will be, I think, a good thing, because there needs to be some room to breathe in that area, because it's an intersection. There's people coming and going from the actual grounds, trying to get onto Chatrier, queuing for drinks, looking at the big screen, and there's just too much at the moment. And hopefully the new plans will just give us some space and alleviate the sort of pressure and the just huge volume of people that are there.
Yeah. Hope so. Let's hope that they can figure out some solutions for the next week and a half, so that we don't have any repeats of this. But as you say, that sounds like something next year at least that should be able to help alleviate the issue. Catherine will be back tomorrow, and I can go out and have two beers instead. But it's nice to talk to you, Matt. I think it's been so interesting for me, for the first time in 7 years of having the tennis podcast and more than 500 episodes, to just be a listener. I've never had this before, and it's just been so interesting to hear your stories and tales from Roland Garros every night. And you've got plenty more to tell from the court today, because it has just been, I think, on the court, a fantastic day, hasn't it? I mean, it all started with I was watching all the early matches today, and they were all the women's matches were the absolute core, because there was one epic men's match as well. I think it was Luca Puy, wasn't it, who was beaten in five sets by, I can't remember who now.
He was beaten by Martin Kližan, who I wrote is a crusher of tennis balls and a crusher of French dreams.
Oh dear.
Because he's one of these players who pops up every now and again and has a big result. But Luca Puy really should have put him away, because he served for the match in the fifth set. It was a match held over from yesterday. But no, Luca Puy is out.
Wow. But the match that really caught the imagination and the big upset of the day was the loss of Karolina Pliskova, who, a little bit like Martin Kližan, is a crusher of dreams from a tennis podcast prediction sense, because Karolina Pliskova was picked to go all the way by certain members of this team, and Petra Martic of Croatia beat her in just quite stunning fashion, didn't she? I mean, I watched quite a bit of that match, and Martic is somebody we've known about for years, and I didn't realise that 8 years ago she was a top 50 player, and then for a good 3 or 4 years she was ranked in the high 100s and 200s since then, and it just hasn't happened from her. But she's got all sorts of spins, she hits slices, she hits beautiful kicking serves, she just caused Pliskova nightmares out there and got the job done. Biggest upset we've had, really. I mean, I suppose Bertens is just as big, but that was a retirement. This was a huge deal.
Yeah, I was keeping an eye on it, and then suddenly I noticed a lot of messages from you in our WhatsApp group saying Petra Martic is playing absolutely beautifully out there, and I thought, right, okay, I really need to watch this now. And she was fantastic. It was an interesting match because Pliskova obviously lost the first set 6-3, and then we pulled up that stat that recently she's had really good form when she's lost the first set. She'd won 6 of her last 9 matches when she'd been in that position. And yet those matches were all coming on the WTA Tour where she was able to call on Conchita Martinez. And obviously here at the Slams she wasn't able to do that. And I think you mentioned in a previous podcast with Catherine about how important you think Martinez is in terms of keeping Pliskova's spirits up in those moments and keeping her energized. And she was a little bit flat in that second set. She threatened to mount a comeback, but it was never really coming because Martic was just playing so well and keeping her foot on the pedal. But Pliskova wasn't quite able to find what she needed. And it kind of raised that topic again of whether whether it's a good thing that the slams are different to the WTA Tour and that you're not allowed your coach.
Mm. And I think Pliskova was asked afterwards what she thinks of on-court coaching, and she said, I don't think it should happen at all.
Mm. She did. Which perhaps was a reflection that she thinks, having used on-court coaching so much on the tour, had a detrimental effect on her here at the Slams.
Mm. Delighted, by the way, Matt, to hear you correctly pronounce Conchita Martinez, which apparently Catherine and I have been absolutely butchering for some time.
Well, my languages degree had to help me somewhat. I was unable to come up with the French for to choke yesterday, but I've got this Spanish pronunciation down, I think.
Well, worry you not, Matt, because Brenda Parry has been in touch and says the French for to choke is, now I'm probably going to get this pronunciation wrong as well, cracker. Osaka ne pas cracker. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think so. Cracker.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, cracker.
Okay. Sorry, Brenda. Sorry, Matt. Sorry, everybody from French background, because clearly I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, there we are. The pronunciation corner is well underway here on the Tennis Podcast, and we've just illuminated ourselves with another couple. So that's Pliskova out and Martic through. It'll be interesting to see what else she can do over the course of the tournament. You know, we often see these incredible results, don't we? And you wonder, is it going to be backed up? Is that player going to be somebody who can take that on from there and do something else? She's now got Kaya Kanepi, who is always in the last 16 of slams whilst doing next to nothing elsewhere. But that is just a fascinating section of the draw, because Kanepi has beaten Kudermetova, who is not somebody I knew an awful lot about, I have to say, who had beaten Caroline Wozniacki in the first round despite losing the first set 6-love back then. But the other match, even better than Martic's performance, was that of Anastasia Sevastova, who beat Elise Mertens 11-9 in the third set. And it was one of those matches where Twitter just takes off, doesn't it? Because suddenly everybody was watching this match. The shot-making that was going on was just to die for, and on both sides of the net, particularly Sevastova. And you know, we're going to get next Sevastova against Vondrousova, who's beaten Carla Suarez Navarro. She's got that wonderful left-handed game and drop shots every 10 seconds. And you can only imagine what Vondrousova against Sevastova is going to be like. But what was your sense of what you witnessed with Mertens and Sevastova today?
Well, variety was the word of the morning on the women's side, because we've spoken about how beautifully Martic played, and then Vondrousova had beaten Suarez Navarro with lefty spins and drop shots and all the variety she brings, and then Sevastova just took it up another notch. It was just an absolute joy the whole match, and we should say Mertens, I thought, was the perfect foil for Sevastova, because she gave a solid, consistent ball that then kind of allowed Sevastova to pull out all her tricks. And Mertens tried to chase everything down, but Sevastova was drop-shotting, slicing, using angles, and yet she still had to save 5 match points because Mertens was playing that well. But Sevastova, on each match point, just came up with such gutsy tennis. On the first one, I think I said she went full Del Potro with a forehand, which she just nailed into the corner. And there was another one with a swinging drive volley. There was one with a drop shot.
That forehand drop shot that she hit, the one that just went over the net, and then sort of did like a right angle turn.
Yeah,
how is it doing that?
Its second bounce, I think, was outside the tram lines. Some sort of wizardry was going on there. And it was really interesting because she gave a really nice interview to Catherine afterwards, and she said, I was having so much fun, I didn't want the match to end. And we were all thinking that as well. And she also said that she was so gutsy on those match points because she felt she'd been too passive for the rest of the match. So she thought, I need to go for it now. And it paid off. It was fantastic to see.
It's been quite an advert, hasn't it, this tournament so far for the final set that gets played out. And I think because we've had 70-68 with John Isner and then the 26-24 that he had against Kevin Anderson at Wimbledon last year, everybody's had a bit of a downer on the final set that you play out. And we've since subsequently had two more tournaments, Wimbledon and the Australian Open, both bring in final set tiebreaks, albeit at different times. And I've certainly become one of those that has started to campaign for the final set tiebreak, simply because I think a full stop is needed. And I like the drama of those matches as well. But it's had a different feel here, hasn't it? In this match that we've described, Sevastova 11-9, we've had Herbert and Pear yesterday. We've had several.
Yeah, I think at the Australian Open, I was completely convinced that a match tiebreak or champions tiebreak, first to 10, was the solution, because there were some absolute corkers there. And yet here, we've had some real treats with seeing them extended. And Maybe that's okay. Maybe that's good. Maybe both solutions are fine, and we don't necessarily need uniformity across the board.
It's Andy Roddick who said that the other week to us, wasn't it, on the podcast?
Yeah, and I really think I agree with him, because I've thought in the past it's silly that we haven't got the same rule. But if one isn't so much better than all the others, doesn't make sense to just impose one. Why not have this variety? And you know, tiebreaks to 10 can be fantastic. I'm intrigued by what will happen at Wimbledon, where the tiebreak will come in at 12 all, and then here as well, it just kind of works.
So there you are. There's a reminder as well of our Andy Roddick interview, which is available in our archives if you'd like to go back and listen. We've also got the Janko Tipsarevic epic interview that I did a few weeks back, which is still up there. And there's also the Rafael Nadal story, which Matt, Catherine and I all recorded just before the French Open. So it's all there in the archive if you'd like to go and listen to some of those. We've got all the daily editions of the French Open podcast as well. Loads for you to go back and listen to. Tell your mates, tell everybody you know about the tennis podcast so that they all get into it.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, tennis podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. The rest of the day, one of the big highlights from a British perspective, Johanna Konta's performance, winning through 6-2, 6-1 today against, I'm sorry to say it, Matt, Victoria Kuzmova, it was a masterclass. I don't think Kuzmova had a good day today, did she? But still, I don't think she was given a lot of chance to have a good day.
No, there's a tremendous sense of deja vu here. Another Grand Slam where I've been ever so slightly let down by Victoria Kuzmova.
How dare she?
I know. But it has to be said,
she's going
to
lose you.
Yeah. well, I already gave up in the predictions, but I was still backing her in terms of giving her visibility and wanting to know how she was doing. But
is she going to become your Dimitrov? That's, you know. starting to feel like suddenly. I know she's only 21, but no.
To be honest, I think she would take Dimitrov's career at this stage. But Konta was so impressive because there are areas of Kuzmova's game that really can be exploited, and she needs time and she needs to be set because her movement isn't great. And Konta just rushed her by being so aggressive and but yet so accurate, and it was a fantastic performance and the kind that just has been building and building since the Fed Cup, really.
Elsewhere, so we've now got Konta against Donna Vekic. They've had some battles in the past. Vekic, great win for her today against Belinda Bencic. Garbiñe Muguruza, straight sets over Elena Svitolina. No surprise to any of us, I don't think, because Svitolina, she's not fully fit, is she? But Muguruza is starting to look a little more like the woman that has won this title before.
Yeah, that regal air has kind of come back with her, and that sort of ferociousness that she had when she was at her absolute best. And she said, I try to approach each match like it's a final. She goes in with that intensity to every match at the moment. And it's an interesting comparison, I think, to make with Pliskova, who is maybe someone who needed the on-court coaching, whereas Muguruza, I think we've said before, seems to thrive when she doesn't have it, because that relationship she has with Sam Sumic doesn't seem to ever really help her on court. And where she hasn't got to think about that at a slam, she seems to be a lot more clear-minded and single-minded and focused, and it really helps her tennis, I think. And she's got such a...
Crikey, you know, you're right. I mean, she must be the most underwhelming tour player out there relative to her Grand Slam success. And
especially at Roland Garros. I think she's now 27-5 here. She's got a really good record at Roland Garros.
Well, I'll tell you are whetting the appetite for Sloane Stephens against Garbiñe Muguruza in the next round. That I don't care what I'm doing, I am watching that.
Yes,
everything
me too.
Else is cancelled.
Yeah.
So that's still to come. On the men's side of the draw today, we had Rafael Nadal losing a set of tennis against David Goffin. I mean, and it was same old, really, for the first two sets, 6-1, 6-3. But then Goffin, who had been playing well, found his range a little and hurt Nadal for a short amount of time.
It was a joy to see Goffin really playing well again, because he just hasn't for the past year, 18 months or so. He's been a little underwhelming. He's had a few injuries, but he really brought a high level today, especially in the third set. But even in the first couple of sets, just Nadal was just so good in those sets. But quite nice to see Nadal tested. We don't often see that early on at the French Open. And I think, if anything, it just made him find a higher gear and just gets him really properly into this tournament now. I wouldn't be too worried by the fact that he's lost the set, although I know you were saying that you kind of thought the way Goffin was playing was perhaps a little blueprint for just a little reminder of what Djokovic can do to him.
Yeah, and not only him. And this may end up playing into Nadal's hands, I should say, because I'm not saying that Goffin is like Djokovic. He's not as good as Djokovic, but there's a certain similarity to the way the ball comes at you. And as there is with Kei Nishikori, who could end up being a quarterfinal opponent for Nadal, that might not be the worst opponent for him to have to face, just to kind of get used to that kind of down-the-line backhand assault that he's likely to face against Djokovic if they end up meeting.
Yeah, well, they say Nishikori is kind of Djokovic light, and it's just a pretty good warm up, really, of seeing the angle of the ball is going to be similar, and Nadal will have to sort of hit similar shots against Nishikori that he'll have to hit against Djokovic if they were to meet in the final.
Long way to go, of course, because first of all, Nadal has got to face Juan Ignacio Londero from Argentina. What do you know about him?
The Cordoba champion from earlier this year, and my other Londero fact is that he's very loud. He has an incredibly loud grunt. I was wandering by court one when he was playing Gasquet the other day, and I thought, what is that racket? And realised that it was Londero from inside the stadium that I could hear. Yeah, he's great. He's a real clay court sort of specialist, but yeah, he's pretty loud.
Crikey, I'm looking forward to that, because Nadal actually is pretty loud. I was watching with my kids today, and at times he was grunting and they were imitating him, and it was so funny to listen to them, because they were like, why is he doing that? But they're trying to explain to them. So that's one match, and the winner of that plays Nishikori or Benoit Paire, who had a slightly easier day's work because poor old Pablo Carreño Busta was forced to retire after the third set of their match. Kei Nishikori won 8-6 in the fifth against Laszlo Zver of Serbia, who's had such a good year. Incredible win for Nishikori, and then you went and tracked him down, I think, Matt. Tell us the story.
I did. Well, we've heard all week Catherine's interview with him at the start of the tournament, where he promised that he would do an underarm serve, and yet we hadn't seen it. So,
and this to sort of mark, what is it, 30 years? Is it 30
years?
Yeah,
30 years since Michael Chang.
Since Michael Chang won this tournament, having hit an underarm serve against Ivan Lendl along the way.
Yeah, Michael Chang coaching Kei Nishikori now. So yeah, we thought he would be honouring that by doing an underarm serve. So there I was, standing outside the press conference room. Roger Federer was in there. Kei Nishikori was in the dreaded after Roger Federer slot, where Federer was doing it in multiple languages and taking his time. Anyway, eventually we shuffled in, Kei Nishikori's press conference, me and about 30, probably, Japanese journalists, and they always start with questions in English. So before the press conference, I was panicking, thinking, okay, I need to think of more questions here. I can't have only one question being about an underarm serve. Everyone's going to laugh at me. So I asked him about his deciding set record, which is so good. I asked him about Benoit Paire. And then just at the end, I said to him, Kay, you said in an interview before the tournament that you were going to hit an underarm serve. I haven't seen it. Where is it? And he said, well, today just wasn't the match because it was so tight. And I said, okay, so what about in the next match? And he said, well, I need there to be an easy score. I need to be in the lead and have an easy score, and then I'll do it. But I kind of went away from that thinking, well, Nishikori likes to make life very difficult for himself at Grand Slams. Chances are he's not going to have an easy score, so I'm not particularly hopeful that we're going to see one.
No, he does have this stunning five-set record, doesn't it? What is it, about 20 wins and 6 defeats, something like that?
Yeah, it's one of the best ever.
Wow, amazing.
I do think part of it is because he gets dragged into five-set matches that he shouldn't be in.
Be more efficient, Kate.
Yeah.
Goodness me. Well, anyway, well done to him for getting through, and he now faces Benoit Paire. We've got Roger Federer against Leo Mayer, who defeated Nicolas Mahut in 4 sets. Federer, I mean, there was a competitive third set. He won it on a tiebreak, but he does look in good fettle, doesn't he?
I don't think he could have scripted this first week any better, really, because he's played 3 opponents who he's never played before, and I think he quite likes that because it keeps it fresh. He's just had straight sets wins. He had a little test today against Casper Ruud in the tie break, and yet he came through. He's not expended too much energy. He's moving well. He's hitting his forehand and serve well, which are two of the biggest keys for him. And that just makes him more dangerous. The more energy he can conserve, and the fact that he's got Leo Mayer to get into the quarterfinals of Roland Garros, Federer would absolutely take that. I mean, Mayer is a good player, but it could have been a whole lot worse for Federer's draw. And yeah, the further he goes, just the more dangerous he gets.
Yeah, he does feel like he's on just a free hit in a way. He's just swinging away, as we kind of thought he might, but still, to see him in this sort of form is really interesting. And if he does get through that one, he doesn't really know his section at that point because it's supposed to be Stefanos Tsitsipas in terms of the seedings, but he's in a third set overnight against Filip Krajanovic, who he was leading 2-0 with Tsitsipas, and then he was, I think, 5-2 down in the third, and there was really bad light, and he managed to get it back to 5-5, and then they called it off. So they've got to come back tomorrow. And then Tsitsipas, if he gets through that, will face either Stan Wawrinka or Grigor Dimitrov, that match we were talking about earlier that got moved. And Wawrinka is 2-0 up, 2 tie breaks. He won those. But that's not over yet either. So, I don't know, Federer Tsitsipas is still what I think is going to be. I know you think Wawrinka is coming through that section, don't you?
Well, I picked Tsitsipas at the start of the tournament, but I've been ever more impressed by Stan Wawrinka, and I think
it was Catherine, I think, who's gone Wawrinka, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Stan today against Dimitrov, I didn't see a huge amount of the match because of what was going on, but I got the feeling that it was kind of the story of their careers, in that Stan was just better in the big moments, you know, the 2 tie breaks. He's done that. He's been a better big match player his whole career than Dimitrov this whole season, and again tonight.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It really does. The mouth waters at the prospect of some of these matches.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to be in for a fantastic second week of this French Open, the way things are going just at the moment. So let's have a little look at the order of play for tomorrow, because it will all start at 11 o'clock local time, 10 in the UK. Simona Halep is up against Lesia Sorenko. Halep having won through a 3-setter last night. Then we've got the resumption of Tsitsipas against Krajanovic, Novak Djokovic against Caruso of Italy. I can't remember his first name. They don't actually include his first name here. But anyway, he's the opponent of Djokovic. Let's just see if I can bring up the first name of Mr. Caruso. It is what's his name? Salvatore.
There you go.
What a good Italian name that is. So that's who Djokovic is playing. And then we've got Monfils in action. And then the final match on Chatrier is Serena Williams against Sofia Kenin, who's a really good competitor. And Serena will need to be on a game to get the job done there. Suzanne Longland sees Fabio Fognini against Roberto Bautista Agut. I think that'll be a good match. Naomi Osaka against Katerina Siniakova. We'll see if Osaka continue her 16-match unbeaten run at Grand Slams. Dominic Thiem against Pablo Cuevas. Ash Barty against Andrea Petkovic. Zverev is out on court Simone Mathieu against Dusan Lajovic. And they actually played each other last year. Do you remember that? It was 5-setter.
In my pre-tournament predictions, I have, rather boldly, and perhaps regrettably, I have Lajovic in the quarterfinals. So I kind of need him to come through that one. I hadn't actually realised that he came into this tournament having not won a match since that final he made in Monte Carlo.
Right.
But he has won his first 2 matches in straight sets. So that was 5-setter, as you said, last year. So I am intrigued by how that one will go. That's probably the match that I'll try and get out to first thing, I think.
Well, we'll bring you the full gist, the lowdown from courtside from Matt, who is going to go out and see Zverev against Dusan Lajovic tomorrow. And then Wawrinka and Dimitrov will resume on court number 1, not before 12 o'clock tomorrow after a doubles, with Wawrinka ahead by 2-0. So, anything else, Matt, before we go? I think you need to go and have a beer, don't you?
Yes, it's been that kind of day.
It's been
it needs to end with a beer.
Something of a day which is ending, we are reliably informed by a message that has just come through from Catherine Whittaker, which says, "Update, my day is ending, standing in the street in a dressing gown as a result of a fire alarm at the hotel."
Oh, goodness. And actually, I should say, Catherine, I had lunch with Catherine today, and she foresaw sort of woe in the future of the day, given the lunch she had, which was basically raw beef, raw cow. It was bleeding, and it was pretty much unedible, actually. And she said, I have a feeling this might repeat on me this afternoon.
Thank you.
And yes, so that was the start of it all.
Well, fortunately, this day is almost at end, and the tennis podcast will be back tomorrow, happier and jollier and hopefully healthier and with less of a traumatic experience to relay to you, and we'll just be able to stick to what goes on the court. But that's been today. Matt, great job. Lovely to have you with us. Thank you all for listening. Hope you're enjoying our daily shows. I say our daily shows. I've done next to nothing except to go and watch Greatest Showman at the cinema, which is fantastic. And yes, I did sing along. And we will be back tomorrow with another one of these, executive produced by tennisballs.com, with our mascot Rio with a Y, in association with The Telegraph. As I said earlier on, tell your mates, let everybody know you like the podcast and get them listening too, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.